Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
NMLS number 65084, equal housing lender. Woo!
As an adult, don't we all miss spring break? Nothing like taking a week off from all your responsibilities. Well, here's the next best thing for adults, a spring break from house payments. SaveWithConrad.com can help you get rid of all your credit card debt just like that. We're routinely helping our listeners save $500, $600, $700, even $800 a month. And you don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket to do this, but check this out, no house payments for 2 months at SaveWithConrad.com.
Are you hoping to budget your food expenses this fall? Well, get more bang for your buck with America's Best Value Meal Kit. Every plate is 25% cheaper than grocery shopping with no hidden fees, so you can count on great value week after week. Plus, only pay for what you need with pre-portioned ingredients. Tell them more, Kirby.
Choose every plate over takeout to save money while still enjoying fresh, satisfying meals. Their meals are 50% cheaper than your average fast casual meal. They're the easiest way to eat affordably. Put the money you save towards making fall plans.
Yeah, not only are you saving money, but you're also making the sustainable choice. This September, every plate offsets 100% of their delivery emissions, and their meals have a 31% lower carbon footprint on average than supermarket meals of the same portion. Plus, nearly all packaging materials are curbside recyclable in most areas in the U.S. Guys, I have loved every plate for so long. Obviously, I get it at a good discount because of the promo code that we will tell you, which is promo code 49POA, by the way. I get a good deal on it, but even if I didn't, I would still get it because they are delicious. They are super easy to make. I love that they're sustainable. I love that I don't have extra ingredients lying around. I can't stand that. Doesn't that bum you out, Kirby?
Yes, it does.
It's horrible.
Such a waste of money.
You don't want to waste things. Mm-hmm. We're rednecks. We don't like to waste. We like to live off the land, you know? So, here's the deal. Here's what I want you to do. Get $1.49 per meal by going to everyplate.com/podcast and entering code 49POA. Get started with EveryPlate for just $1.49 per meal. That doesn't even sound real. Does that sound real?
Oh.
It does not sound real, does it? I go to everyplate.com/podcast and entering code 49POA. That is everyplate.com/podcast, code 49POA. That's up to a $110 value. Skew! You want to know what I didn't see coming at all?
What?
This, you might not believe me, but this is the, like, most compliments I have ever gotten in my life on a shirt.
Where's it from?
I got it at a flea market in Memphis, right? So, well, not flea market, a antique store. Mm-hmm. So, like, I always like, you know, me and you, I think we grew up antiquing. We love it. But I like antique shopping because there's no, that I know of at least, chain antique store. Mm-hmm. Like, each antique store is going to be, like,
Mom and pop owned
and regional. Like, if you go to one in Memphis, you're going to get Memphis-flavored stuff, right?
Yeah.
So,
well,
when...
was it the Jetsons' hometown? Because it kind of reminds me if the Jetsons went bowling.
It's funny because that wasn't what I thought when I walked in. I had two thoughts. Well, the first thought, this was the one on the outside. Mm-hmm. So when I first saw it, I was like, that looks like one of Granny Bane's blouses.
Yeah,
right?
Hamrick special.
But then I saw
shirts, blouses.
I saw similar ones like around it. Mm-hmm. And I immediately was like, oh, this is like, we're in Memphis. Mm-hmm. This is like a black uncle's shirt.
Oh,
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I will never be as cool as a black uncle, but I was like, I want that shirt. So I got a whole bunch of them, but I've been getting so many compliments on it specifically from this show. And it's funny. And I'm going to admit something right now that a lot of people have just thought for a while that I was privy to, but I wasn't.
Uh-huh.
I got a lot of compliments from several people. Apparently there's like an artist that like this, like a very like famous, you know, meta modern type artist, mm-hmm. or whatever phrases are. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about art in a second, mm-hmm. by the way. That this is like one of their prints, and everybody was like, it's so great that Corey pays so much attention to the show that like it's a subtle hint that like it's that print. And I was just like, oh yeah, you know me.
Yeah. Culture,
and like,
baby.
Culture. Yeah. And it's like, no, actually I was in Memphis and I thought that looks like a black guy shirt and I want to be cool like a black guy.
Yeah. So instead of just being a funkle, you're like a blunkle now.
Yeah. I'm a blunkle. Everybody has probably noticed by now, Trey's not here. We had it was just a bad week for Trey. He was traveling. Need I say more? You know, we have to do this from time to time. And they always say in podcasting, in wrestling, in movies, in anything, that if you have a star and they, like if Hulk Hogan's wrestling,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden Hulk Hogan can't make the show,
mm-hmm.
the rule in wrestling is their replacement has to be even better, right?
So naturally you called me.
Well, what I was going to say is the other rule is, but if it's a situation where it can't be better, it has to be different.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
If you've got Hulk Hogan, then at that time, there was no one bigger than Hulk Hogan. So you would have to get that. You couldn't just go, let's get the next best Hulk Hogan.
So you got China.
You would have. Yeah, that's a perfect one.
China.
You would get China because it's completely different. That's
R.I.P.
Awesome. Yeah,
yeah.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
Joni Lohr.
Mm-hmm.
But Lady Kirby, some of y'all probably recognize her from our series, Little House of the Dragon. That was a recap we did during House of the Dragon, the Game of Thrones spinoff. So I'm saying that because there's a lot of new airheads that may not have been with us then. If you watch House of the Dragon and you really liked it, me and my sister, way back in the archives of putting on airs, we did that. And it was fun, and I know that you're like me, like you're dying for the second season.
Dying for the second season.
I was going to be dying for the second season too, but like we really set ourselves up to like cock block ourselves because like I was so into doing that with you. Mm-hmm. Like I don't get me wrong. I love Trey and I love doing podcasts with Trey, but there was something different, like brother sister time,
uh-huh.
you know, it was super fun.
Yeah,
and then me and you haven't hung out since then. So, you know, we really need that show to come back.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked it. It was fun. I like having a creative task.
Yes, yes. And you and I, by the way, tease, today we're going to be talking about a myriad of things because we've got my sister with us. So we're going to be doing it a little different. We're going to be talking about a myriad of things. We're going to be adding a new section to our ongoing series called Up Butt Art. Do you know what Up Butt Art might mean?
Just pretentious.
Pretentious art that, up your butt. Yeah. I don't know why I thought that was Navajo code or something. Like, how would you do?
Yeah.
Can you decipher this? Anyways, we're going to be talking about that. But before we get into all that and some Downton Abbey talk, because my sister, by the way, if anybody out there is thinking that they could win a Downton Abbey trivia contest, I'm not saying that you couldn't. All I'm saying is that would mean that she was not there. We probably talked about this in Little House of the Dragon, but like, didn't I give you like a 330 question Downton Abbey trivia. Not only, by the way, they were multiple choice. She never once needed me to read the multiple choices. And also, she got one wrong, and we went and figured out that actually the test got it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, ironclad up here.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get going, I don't need to talk about this too much because longtime POA listeners have, I don't know if I say they've heard enough of it because we definitely still get emails about it all the time. But I wanted you to weigh in on something that's come to be known here in the Skewniverse as the Great Squirrel Debate. So you've not heard me talk about this.
Yeah, I don't listen to you
okay.
that much.
Now, thank you. the only reason that this is kind of a bummer is because I know you so well, and we're so similar in so many regards mm-hmm. that, like, I think I know exactly what you're about to say, but the Great Squirrel Debate was this. One time on the show, I was talking about, I don't know why, because this has nothing to do with fancy people or European history or kings uh-huh. and queens. I think I just randomly told Trey that I had broke down crying one day because I ran over a squirrel, and I had recently, like right before that, I had heard that squirrels were like one of the most territorial animals, like in the animal kingdom, whereas like
they live in that tree forever.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So like those squirrels, their great 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 grandpas were Civil War squirrels. Like that was what we were talking about. And so because of that, when I run over the squirrel, knowing that, I'm like, his family was on the other side of that, of the road, yeah, waiting for him to get back. It's not like there's a random amalgamation of squirrels. Like there's a family going, "Where's daddy?" You know, and I started crying, right? And
checks out.
And Trey then told me that I was stupid for feeling that way. And I was like, okay, listen, you're right. I am stupid for feeling that way. I'm a puss, you know. But he goes, no, you're stupid for feeling that way because squirrels do not have the capacity to love.
Who says?
Trey.
Trey God?
Thank you. All right.
That's like the whole, our dogs don't go to heaven because they ain't got souls. They got more souls than any of us.
Thank you. All right. Again, this came as no shock.
You knew what I was going to be on that.
I knew where you were going to be, but I didn't know that you were going to say, is Trey God?
I'm just saying.
Which is hilarious. But yeah, and that's all and I told him, I was like, I've seen like squirrel mamas like hug their babies and like, and he's just like, no, it's just metal out there, dude.
Well, have you seen squirrels put all those nuts in their mouth? You mean to say that we get to heaven one day and we don't get to just see that?
I know. Like, why would, like, that was always my argument. And I know it was mom's argument too, because mom, when we were kids, like, we would have some of our friends tell us, like, because we got real emotional over our dogs, and our friends would be like, well, sucks, you won't ever see them in heaven, which is an insane thing for an 8-year-old just to say to another 8-year-old.
Yeah.
By the way, it's an even insaner thing for an 8-year-old's parents to just randomly tell them.
Yeah, by the way, I know you love Skippy, but you'll never see him again.
Right. Like, when a kid's that age, it's like, you're already making so much stuff up. Why tell what you think is the truth right now?
Yeah.
You could just not say anything.
Yeah. Santa Claus, he comes every year.
Right. Right. Yeah. But I'm saying like, at 8, you definitely still believe in Santa Claus. So why would a parent be like, we're going to lie to him and say there's a Santa Claus, but we have to tell him the hard truth about the fact that he will never see his favorite dog again?
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense. So yes, that was that debate. Oh, I'm an idiot, because we definitely need to, sorry guys, an in-show ad right now. Our book, Round Here and Over Yonder, came out on Tuesday. Sales are great. We are number one in like 7 categories on Amazon, one of which is travel writing, which we hit number one immediately in rural life humor. And by the way, I'm obviously happy about that, but at the same time, I was like, well, that's a very niche category, but like travel writing, not even travel humor, travel writing.
Yeah,
I was
that's
like,
huge.
I was like, okay. And there's, do you know who, and we passed him. Now I think he might be back to beating us, but our audience knows that I had a full blown, emotional breakdown when Jimmy Buffett died.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was, I talked to you that night. I don't mind you saying how bad I was.
So it was about Jimmy Buffett?
Well, no. I thought it was. Do you know what I mean?
I understand. I was with you when Tim Wilson died.
Yeah, and that was really bad. Uh-huh. I'm a fucking emotional, like, I would say wreck, but a wreck is not the word anymore because I got therapy and I know, like, I actually now know, hey, when you feel it, let it out. Whereas I used to not know that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would bottle it up and then it would come out at inopportune times. But no, not to get into therapy, even though there's a chance this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp, like for real. No. I thought it was about Jimmy. Now, granted, I was super upset about Jimmy Buffett dying.
Mm-hmm.
But as you later heard on the phone, what I didn't realize, it was that my whole life I have associated Jimmy Buffett and dad.
Yeah.
Like he introduced me to him.
Yeah.
He's a bridge for us. You know, like mm-hmm. like the movie The Patriot's a bridge for us. Like if we're disagreeing on anything, I know if I've just said something that I'm like, oh, dad's probably gonna be mad at me for that, as long as I can just be like, yeah, Gladiator, remember when he double whackies a dude in the head?
Yeah.
Patriot, oh my God, when he hits the dude, or I can be like, man, that Jimmy Buffett, whatever. And like we're good.
Yeah.
Mel Brooks is a huge bridge, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that when Jimmy Buffett died, I literally broke down and like, of course, I genuinely am sad over Jimmy Buffett, but no, it was about dad.
Yeah, I understand.
Why did I even start that?
because we're talking about the book and obviously Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy Buffett was beating us in the travel writing in his book, A Pirate Looks at 50, which I love. It's a great, great book. But like seeing...
On the same page.
Right.
Yeah.
One and two.
Yeah.
Like, not to... I'm not... This isn't even to brag on myself. Mm-hmm. This is to say, like, I had a fucking moment, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I was like... And I even tweeted about it. I was like, this may be the only time in my whole life that me and Jimmy Buffett are ever on the same page of anything. Mm-hmm. But, like, look at this. Mm-hmm. And, like, I got super emotional. So, I would like to thank everybody.
Well, we've connected over Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, do you want to tell that story? I would love to tell that story.
Names, though.
Oh, right. Okay. No, I can do it. Mm-hmm. And you help me out.
Okay.
Well, hold on a second. We have to promote the book. I literally have to.
When Corey has me back again.
No. We're going to tell it. I'm just saying I need to promote the book right now.
Okay, let's talk about the book.
Yeah, we're setting it up. Teaser, you're about to get a wonderful Jimmy Buffett story about my sister doing a thing that, we'll get into it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the book came out. I'm super pumped that everybody gave us great reviews. Everybody was messaging me saying it was great. Mm-hmm. One of the first persons was you.
Yeah.
You actually bought my book without telling me.
I pre-ordered your book on Audible because I'm an Audible slut.
Yes, me too.
And I love Audible. And I've listened to it on the way to drop Laura James off at school and in the car rider line. And I'm loving it. I'm not finished. I have listened to, obviously the first one I listened to, I know I should have went.
You went straight to Chickamauga?
I went straight to Chickamauga.
Yeah, of course.
I couldn't help it.
Do you think I did it justice?
I thought so, too. I was scared when I started. I thought, oh, Lord, what's this? You didn't say anything. Like, it was hilarious.
I rewrote it, like, five times because of that. Like, I was like, because I wanted to be honest, but at the same time, like, I've always felt like some people around here think that I hate this place.
Uh-huh.
When it's like, I want to tell them, like, hey, do you realize I could literally live anywhere?
Like,
I have a job that I could literally live anywhere, and I choose to live here. So, like, no, I don't hate it at all.
I like how you said, like, Chickamauga is everywhere. Like, there's going to be backwards people no matter...
Everywhere.
Where you live. But, no, I love Chickamauga.
Okay, without knowing which one of us wrote it, which, so far, what's your favorite? And I'll tell you if it was me or Trey.
Okay, let me think about what I've read Chickamauga, Panama City.
I wish I had the Jeopardy music on here. I just have fart.
I've read Charleston
was good.
Shoals.
Nothing sticks out as like, that was my favorite.
I mean, I loved Charleston because I love Charleston.
Right, that was Trey.
Well, I mean, he is God.
But anyways, that's
Chickamauga's you.
Chickamauga was me. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's as much of an ad as we need to do. But thank y'all for pre-ordering it. You can still get it everywhere you get books, round here and over yonder. We do read the Audible version, which I've never known, and I've never asked publishers if it's okay for me to be like, this is how I'd prefer you to get it. But I think getting it on Audible is the best.
Well, that's
especially
what I did.
If you like this podcast, you clearly like me and Trey's voice.
I did that for Liberal Redneck Manifesto, too.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I like to hear y'all's voices. And
I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Man. Okay, again, we're going to stop talking about the book after this. Just something I noticed that, like, I know that you know, like, I've talked to you about this before, where, like, a joke that I wrote 2 years ago, which I thought, hypothetically, at the time, like, this is the best joke I've ever wrote, I could listen to it now, knowing I was a good comedian then, but I've grown so much that I'll listen to it and go, oh, what the was I thinking? I went back and re-listened to the Liberal Redneck Manifesto before we recorded this one, and I was like, did you even know how to read? Like, and I remember at the time being like, I crush it narrating. And this time I really did. I was just like, oh my God. Like, and now it was 7 years ago. I was like, you sweet. I didn't really have any experience with a microphone other than the one I had in my hand. So like, well, thank you, Kirby. I really appreciate that. That the book is, like I said, round here, over yonder. Get it wherever you get books.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, Walmart, Nike, Wine.com, Samsung, Lenovo, Sephora, and more. And even stack sales on top of cashback. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Now, let's talk about Jimmy Buffett. So.
I don't even know why I even, like,
Believe that you did.
I don't know why.
I
think it's like I'm kind of just forgetting that we're on air and that we're not just
talking. I was kind of shocked, I'll be honest with you, because, like, I remember at one point I was, like, going to do it on stage, and you're like, you can't tell anybody. You got to make up a cousin or something like that.
Well, as long as you don't.
I'm not going to mention any of their, yeah, I'm not going to mention any other names.
That's it.
Mention any other names. So. This is probably going on, like, I don't know. I mean, this is 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
literally 12 years ago. Yeah. Like, you were probably 19, 20 years old or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, let's see. I'm 33 now. Honestly, I don't think that I was of legal drinking age.
No, I know you weren't. Mm-hmm. No, I was. But anyways, Jimmy Buffett is in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I'd been to see Jimmy Buffett already like two or three times. I'm a huge parrot head. Me and all my friends is parrot heads. Mm-hmm. Kirby's a parrot head. So like, and just to set up the scene, when we go to a Jimmy Buffett concert, we're not the people. Now, most people, I feel like we're in the majority of people that go to a Jimmy Buffett concert. Realistically, the concert is not the highlight, like, at all. I mean, it does hit.
Yeah, no, it's the tailgate.
The concert is at 9 o'clock at night. We get to the arena at 11 or 12 mm-hmm. in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. We set up, we've got all these trucks. We've got the Leprechaun, this big camper, right? Mm-hmm. We have margarita machines running off car batteries. Mm-hmm. We have tents set up. We got all sorts of food. It's going down. Mm-hmm. We are drinking like maniacs. We are partying, having a wonderful time. Mm-hmm. Well, just so happened, and I ain't gonna say her name, but one of my ex-girlfriends who me and her were very on again, off again. Mm-hmm. It was a situation where like we would break up and then it's that girl or that guy that you've had where all it takes is you run into each other at the same party and you're back together. Mm-hmm. And then 2 months later, you're broke up, mm-hmm. right? But that hits because when you run, like both of you know, like, well, at least I'll get some. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? This will mm-hmm. be fun. So she's there. And I'm just like, oh, wait, I don't even have to try, baby. Like, this mm-hmm. is going to be fun. Me and her, like, basically immediately go back into boyfriend and girlfriend mode. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing that happened before the part of the story that you're involved in is that we ran into our, I won't say a name, but our old assistant principal. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is a time in my life where comedy not working out for me. Mm-hmm. I had been doing it. Mm-hmm. I'd been trying really hard, mm-hmm. but it wasn't working out for me. And so I'd never felt like when I saw one of my old teachers that I could ever look at them with any sort of pride, yeah. I never felt that way. But I had this person with me and she was a very attractive girl. Mm-hmm. So I see our assistant principal. Mm-hmm. I'm with her. We're drinking. This is the days when beer pong was like, we had no idea how much HPV we were getting. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. obviously, like, I mean, you knew it was disgusting, right? We all knew it was disgusting. Yeah. But, like, It's like when they came out with that, they're like, by the way, HPV has skyrocketed. Every one of us were like, oh,
yeah, no shit.
Mm-hmm. This is back before you had the rinse cups. The beer was warm. So we just played beer pong. It was super warm beer. Mm-hmm. My principal comes up. He's a big parrot head. And I was just like, hey, principal, I want you to meet girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, look at this. See, I'm mm-hmm. She puked directly on his feet.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No.
She puked directly on his feet.
LOL.
And to give him credit, he laughed it off.
Well, but, I mean, like, you're was, a Buffett. And, yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean.
And he's a big parrot head. Yeah. He was not in assistant principal mode.
Yeah.
Anyways, so we're having a blast. We finally get to the concert, and we are on the lawn. And me and her are sitting there. And you know what? I want to hear. I've always told this story completely from my point of view, because all I know is what you did, and then I was told afterwards what happened. I want you to take over and tell me what was going on here. Me and her on the lawn, we're making out, everybody's smoking weed, we're having a blast.
Okay, well, I was blackout.
Yeah. By the way, me too, because apparently Zach Brown came out, and I didn't even really remember that.
I didn't know that. And so Corey and girlfriend, I guess, are making out. I really basically don't remember this. This is the story. I had two friends there, and one of them came up to me and said, hey, Corey's over there making out with girlfriend. And I was like, oh, okay, you know. And she was like, well, you do know that our other friend is back at home, and she's pregnant with his baby.
Yeah.
And this other friend...
By the way, I'll bury the lead. That is not even a little bit true. Yeah.
So I'm sitting there like, wait, what? Like, she's pregnant, and Corey's just out here making out with a girl? And the other girl was like, yeah, I mean, she's pregnant. And I was like...
So don't tell the end yet, but I want to... So that's your perspective. What's happening to me is that I'm sitting there making out with her, thinking everything's good. I look back, and it's you and your whole group of friends, and God, I wish I could say her name so bad. I'm not going to say it, but you know who I'm talking about now. Like, you know who I'm talking about when I say, Her and all the other ones are just looking at, just staring at me, giving me this death stare. Uh-huh. And I'm sitting here like, I'm going through all these options in my mind, and I'm like, okay, I know that these whores aren't upset that I'm making out at a Jimmy Buffett concert. Yeah. Like, it wasn't like the Christian stare of just like, I can't believe what you're doing right now. And I'm like, what have I done to them? Or it's like, I was like, they don't dislike her. They don't even know her. So I have no clue what's going on. Zero clue. Yeah. So you who are... You're a pretty big redneck. When you've been drinking, one of the most redneck people I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And you've got it in your head because it should be noted that the girl with whom I was supposedly had got pregnant, very good friend of yours, very good friend of ours, but like y'all were super tight. Mm-hmm. She is furious at me. Mm-hmm. She's furious at me. She's blackout drunk. Again, all I'm seeing is... something's going on over here, but you know what? I don't care. Mm-hmm. I'm about to get laid. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And also, like, I don't want to sound like a pussy for saying what I'm about to say, but I also don't want to sound like a super machismo guy for just going, I'm going to get laid. I also loved her.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It wasn't just, like, I was happy that we were getting back together.
Yes,
like,
yes.
And you know this.
Yes,
like,
yes.
I was
y'all
like,
both cared about each
we
other.
We both very much cared about each other. Now, don't get me wrong, like, probably if I had to rank the feelings I cared the most about, having sex right then was number one for sure.
Yeah.
So we are, we're
going to, burped.
That's okay. Oh, hold on. There you go.
What?
So
my brand.
We are going to walk back to the camper. The concert's kind of getting over, and we're like, we're going to beat everybody back, and we're going to go bang in the camper. Mm-hmm. We're walking. It's one of those drunks. Like, Jimmy Buffett drunk, dude, is like, I mean, if I had to rank all the drunks you can be, I think that Danny McBride said it best. Myrtle Beach drunk is the number one.
Well, yeah, because it's tequila drunk. You've had margaritas.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I was black. I can't drink tequila.
But, like, I think if you... The biggest drunks you can ever be is, obviously, Jimmy Buffett. If you go to a college rivalry game.
Yeah, yeah.
These are situations where it's like, not only did you get drunk, you will 100% wake up not knowing where you are at all.
The adrenaline's there, too.
Yeah, you can't go to bed. Mm-hmm. And so it's basically like, yeah, the adrenaline's up, so it's like almost like your own Coke.
Yeah.
Right? So at the time, you're not even really probably acting drunk, but you are blackout, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So we're that, and we're kind of stumbling on back to the camper. I'm super happy. All of a sudden, I'm certain you don't remember this, all of a sudden, I turn around, and I just hear, hey, mother, or whatever it was that you were calling me, and I look back, and it's you doing that, which... By the way, me and Kirby used to get in plenty of fights when we were younger, but like as soon as we got to be adults, like we've always been best of friends. Yeah, so like this was not normal. Like I'm not used to my sister being mad at me.
And I've never hit anybody else ever.
Oh, bury the lead there. Yeah.
Sorry.
I turn around. She's dead sprinting towards me. She takes a step, crow hops. I'm sitting there. Girl is right here. Kirby punches me in the face as hard, literally like moved my nose to the other side. I start bleeding everywhere. She broke my nose, right? And I'm sitting there, and she's just like, "That's what you get, motherfucker," you know. And I'm like, and I'm going, for what? Mm-hmm. And I still don't know. Like nobody has told me mm-hmm. at all. And
we were victims.
For sure, we were victims mm-hmm. of just manipulation, yeah, like that complete was, manipulation. Yeah. And I'll get to that in a second. So I'm sitting there, but of course I'm bleeding. My nose is broke. My sister just punched me. Instead of trying to figure out why, I'm, of course, go straight into like, I can still get this done. So I turn around, I look at her, and I'm like, hey, so the camper's just right over here. And she just goes, and it's honestly, she went from blackout to like, we're both blackout. And she just sobered up and went, you know what? It seems like y'all got a lot going on.
Yeah.
And she left.
Smart.
And so now I'm sitting there, I'm going, what the fuck? What happened? And you tell me, you go, oh, so you're just going to sit here and make out with her while so-and-so is back home with your baby? And I was like, what? And you go, don't deny it. And I was like, I haven't even slept with her mm-hmm. in a while. Like, mm-hmm. definitely not 9 months.
Yeah.
And you were like, what? And I was like, who told you this? You were like, such and such is mom. I was like, what? Went up to her and she was like, I was like, why would you say this? She goes, I was bored.
Yeah.
I was bored.
Yeah, that's diabolical. Right
I
there.
Was bored. By the way, she was 48 at the time. Not like a teenager, like a grown woman who was like, and I will say this, her husband, also 48 at the time, called me to apologize the next day sincerely because his wife cock blocked me. But yeah, I've often brought up when people are like trying to ask us for our red cred. I'll just like with one sentence I can tell you my sister broke my nose at a Jimmy Buffett concert, but I don't know if I've ever told the story. So there it is. We'll be right back right after this. Football season is back, baby. And you know what that means. Touchdown dances, Sunday tailgates, and epic fantasy showdowns. But fellas, let's not forget the real MVP of the season. Introducing the all-new Beard Hedger Pro Kit by Manscaped, your ultimate luxury beard grooming experience. This kit is your secret weapon for staying sharp on and off the field. Don't fumble this opportunity, y'all. Head to manscaped.com and elevate your grooming game with the Beard Hedger Pro Kit. Join the 9 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. Me being one of them. You heard that right. 9 million men or 109 MetLife stadiums. That is insane. So go to manscaped.com and get 20% off plus free shipping with the promo code POA. Y'all, how many times have I told you that it's not just their beard hedger, which I love. It's not just their lawnmower 4.0, which I love. It's the ball deodorant, the crop preserver, especially because, you know, it is, we're getting to fall, but like it's still, we've still got those hot streaks during the day where I go out for a walk and I'm still sweating and I want my boys to, you know, not be horrible because I love my wife. Get it. It's amazing. The Beard Hedger Pro Kit is a grooming powerhouse built for precision and style, just like your favorite quarterback. Plus, by the way, it's waterproof, so you can shave in the shower to avoid all that hair in the sink. That's what I do. The titanium-coated T-blade is tough on hair but smooth on your face, leading to single-stroke efficiency. That brings satisfaction one stroke at a time. And remember, the Beard Hedger Pro Kit is your go-to teammate for maintaining a sharp and polished beard, whether you're on the field, in the office, or anywhere in between. Grab yours today and experience the game-changing difference. Here's what I want you to do. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code POA at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code POA. Your grass is not artificial. Keep it shaved with Manscaped. By God. So we've been doing this thing on the show that I think that I invented probably because I didn't have a topic that week. Mm-hmm. However, I have had some of the most fun whenever that happened, and I had to come up with something. And this is the Fantasy Kingdom Draft, right?
I like creating a universe.
I love creating it. Mm-hmm. Me and you both are like big universe creators. Mm-hmm. Shameless plug, I'm creating my own universe over at parttimefunnyman.com. We are chalk smooth. Is that a phrase? Chalk smooth?
It is now, baby.
Thank you. We are chalk smooth in the middle of a... Did you know I'm doing a murder mystery?
No, but...
You didn't?
Nuh-uh.
Well, okay. Technically, it's a heist mystery, I guess. There will be murder. It's called Colonel Cornbread in the Case of the Confederate Ruby. And it's an audio drama that I'm doing over on my Substack. So I'm building a universe, and that universe is called, it's the town of Chickalookie.
Okay.
You know, not based on anything at all.
No, obviously.
But yes, I too like building worlds. And I think when we started this, it was like fantasy football was coming up. And so I was like, this will be fun to draft an entire realm. Now, I told you this is what we're doing, so you came up with some things. Mm-hmm. But I did want to throw at you some of the earlier examples just so that you know kind of what we're playing with.
Uh-huh.
The first one that me and Trey came up with, and by the way, feel free to, when you name yours, go, actually, you're right, Arnold Schwarzenegger is better. Because Arnold Schwarzenegger, we thought, was a really good king, benevolent king. Mm-hmm. Vince McMahon might have been more of like a conqueror. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Dolly Parton as queen. Mm-hmm. And when we had Dolly Parton as queen, we were like, we don't even really need anybody else. So mm-hmm. I would like to hear your fantasy kingdom draft. Tell the people.
Well, this is fantasy, but I'm not saying that this would be best for the realm. This is just what I feel like.
Okay. Well, all right. Do that, and then me and you will try to figure out what's best for the realm in that scenario.
Okay. Like, when I think of a king, I think of Russell Crowe, because, like, I think of Gladiator.
Okay.
What?
So, Russell Crowe, the actor?
Was I not supposed to do actors?
No, that's totally fine. Uh-huh. It's just like, no, I fucking love that you did that.
So Maximus...
Yeah, but he's not Maximus.
Yeah, but like Russell Crowe.
I'm fine with Russell Crowe.
Turns out all of these are actors.
No, that's totally fine that they're actors. No, I love this. Okay. I love this. I will just say that, like, we picked Arnold Schwarzenegger not because he was an actor, but because, like, we were talking about a time. Hold on. No, I love it. We're gonna defend Russell Crowe, and I'll help you. We were talking about a time when, like, you know, the king was a big, you know, huge hulking some bitch. Uh-huh. And Arnold Schwarzenegger also used to be the governor, which, by the way, this isn't your fault, because I told you we're not doing political people. Screwed you over. Okay, Russell Crowe
would eat a chicken leg.
Yes, he would.
Yeah.
A big old turkey leg and drink a goblet of mead.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah,
he's like pretty famous for like getting in drunk fights with people and winning them.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not sitting here saying that, like, I think a lot of actors think they are way smarter than they are.
Mm-hmm.
Of course they're not. Mm-hmm. However, it does take a level of, like, understanding.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be very studious. Yeah. Like, to be a great actor.
Yeah.
Not just to be me. Uh-huh. You don't have to. To be a bad actor like me, you don't have to do any of that. But, like, he has to have a little empathy. He has to be able to put himself in somebody else's shoes, you know. So I dig Russell Crowe.
Okay. All right. Well, for, I decided to do a category, the king's brother that's a whoremonger. Because I just feel...
This is new. This is new.
Well, I put Mark Wahlberg because I would... I'd pay-per-view that.
You'd pay-per-view
that? Yeah. 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 So...
You're more of a Marky Mark than a Donnie Wahlberg guy?
Well, I have a pulse. Everybody is.
Is Mark Wahlberg like a daddy to you? Okay, sidebar. Mm-hmm. Who are your daddies? They know about daddies on this show because I mentioned that Amber has a daddy list. Hold on. Amber has a daddy list. And what I'd mentioned on there is not even one of them could I even go, I could see where me and that guy are kind of similar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally didn't have, like, and I know people are going to make fun of me for this, but I was like, if she'd had Jason Statham on there, mm-hmm, I could at least be like...
Bald.
Bald and like... If I lost 50 pounds, I could see it. Like, he's hot, but he's not like Brad Pitt hot. I could aspire to be Jason Statham. None of hers are like that. What's your daddy list?
Well, Mark Wahlberg's on there.
Really?
Yeah.
He's definitely not on Amber's, yeah. I don't think.
Well, I don't know. I think that
he's
every,
a short king, isn't
I
he?
I feel like every millennial girl had a weird experience watching Fear in the 90s.
I've never seen it.
Well, it's not something where, you should be attracted. Yeah, I shouldn't be attracted to that.
But, yeah, he's a rapist, right?
It's not good.
Amber, she fell in love with Jason Momoa when he was raping Khaleesi. Y'all are weird.
Don't sex shame.
It's not sex, it's rape. Okay, Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg. It's eras of people. Cause like I'm gonna say like Legends of the Fall, Brad Pitt. I don't think that there's ever been anybody as beautiful as him in that movie.
I mean, I agree. Like
Tristan.
Yeah.
That it's
unreal.
It's unreal. Him in that movie, that's unreal. Honestly, I'm just gonna go with those two for right now.
Okay, well, just so you know, like now that I'm an older man, it's so much easier for me to like admit when a man is good looking. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. when I was a kid, that was not a thing that mm-hmm. dudes in the South mm-hmm. did. Mm-hmm. That being said, mm-hmm. all of us, as much as we were like, ooh, gay or mm-hmm. cooties, all like everyone my age had to, every head must bow, every tongue must profess. Like Brad Pitt was so hot in that era mm-hmm. that even straight country mm-hmm. boys were like, I mean, I do it out of respect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So yeah. Mark Wahlberg and Brad Pitt,
yes.
two strikingly different people.
Well,
because am I wrong that Mark Wahlberg is a short king? So you're into short kings?
I'm just into whatever.
You know what a short king is?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I'm into whatever he is.
I'm in love.
I mean, sometimes you want a chocolate cupcake, sometimes you want a strawberry cupcake, sometimes you want pie.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. I mean, all my mama's list, which mm-hmm. that don't work like daddy's does. Mm-hmm. Like that sounds like some Oedipus stuff. But like mm-hmm. all my like. If Amber's making her top five daddies and I'm making my top five, oh, mommies. Mommies.
Oh, yeah.
That works.
Mommies.
Mine will be like, I'm sure that there will be a running thing. If I did 20, you would start to notice a pattern. But I think in my like top five, there's a lot of like, people will go, I don't know what this guy's into. You know what I mean?
Because it's like, I have two women that are tied and they're the number ones.
Two women?
Uh huh.
Who?
Like if I had like a woman, Selma Hayek and Penelope Cruz.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I would have never... I don't know if I would have thought when I was a kid that Salma Hayek was on mine.
That movie where she's like...
It's unreal.
The thing, you know? Yeah. What is it? It's... I don't know. She's like a demon woman.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the movie, but dude, do you know when I decided to put Salma Hayek on mine? Recently, like in The Hitman's Bodyguard, and she was just in an episode of Black Mirror.
Oh, really?
And
like, I can't watch that.
Oh, the new season is less freaky. Mm. You would that episode, Salma Hayek's in without question the funniest episode of Black Mirror ever. Mm. She's like 55. By the way, I'm just saying, like, she is better looking than anybody in Hollywood. Not trying to like
No,
but she's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And like I do think that like you do get hot points as you get older if you maintain your hotness. Dudes, too. Mm-hmm. Like, because that's impressive. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, anybody can be hot in 19. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But, like, Selma Hayek is top shelf. Then I've got, like, Natalie Maines. Like, Natalie Maines from the Dixie Chicks.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
That's two right there. Completely different people. Mm-hmm. And then... this is going to throw you even further. Mm-hmm. Maggie Gyllenhaal. She's nothing like any of them.
Yeah,
So you're going, what's Corey into?
Yeah.
With Amber, tall, dark, handsome rapist. That's who she likes. And you, again, the short king.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, your fantasy draft. I'm sorry. I needed to know your daddies for some reason, which is, I'm sure everybody's like, oh, why, Corey, why do you want to know the dudes that your sister wants to bang?
Well, for the queen, I put... Elizabeth Taylor, because I just feel like she has a presence.
She does have a presence. Uh-huh. And now, is she the ruling queen or the queen mother?
She is the ruling queen.
Okay. I could see it.
Queen mother, I mean, I just feel like it's just obviously Maggie Smith.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, let's go back to Elizabeth Taylor. I think I've done an episode on her before, and mm-hmm. if I haven't, I definitely should. Mm-hmm. But I know, you know what? I did Cleopatra, and she came up during
it.
Elizabeth Taylor was... super powerful hot shit at a time in Hollywood where women didn't have a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
Women still don't have near the power that they deserve to have. But mm-hmm. like in Elizabeth Taylor's day, we're talking the MGM, the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer days, the you got Louis B. Bear, you got the Warner Brothers just starting up. It's a man's game.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were chewing. I mean, look what they did to Natalie
Wood.
Was look at yeah all the, like look at what they did to women back then.
Well,
Marilyn
yeah,
Monroe,
because a production company would own them. Like literally, it's not like nowadays where you know you can do a movie for. Who, I mean,
they
I
still do big picture deals now,
yes.
but people are wisened up to it.
Yeah.
Like back, but what you're talking about did happen. Like mm-hmm. MGM would get someone who they thought was hot, but didn't know anything about the industry, and they would lock them into a 9-picture deal, basically mm-hmm. meaning you can't leave until you've done 9 pictures from us. That doesn't mean you'll be gone in 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
We might not put you in picture mm-hmm. like 9 pictures, mm-hmm. and if we just want you to hang out for 4 years. And we don't have anything for you, you
yeah.
can't go over here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, like, they would feed them full of drugs. Like, they chewed up and spit women out. And I'm not trying to say that as though, oh, but Elizabeth Taylor, she was stronger than them. I don't, you didn't have to be a weak woman for that bullshit to happen. However, she did make it through. And, like, there's, like, stories of her, like, really laying into Louis B. Mayer and, like, being like, hey, I know you think that you can do that shit
mm-hmm.
to all these people,
uh-huh.
but not me.
Mm-hmm.
And then she literally becomes a perfume mogul.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she had the most, like, I'm pretty sure that it's Chanel No. 5 and, like, White Diamonds is, like, mm-hmm. 1 and 2. And, mm-hmm. like, if you understand the colossal impact that Chanel No. 5 has, mm-hmm. which I did an episode on it, you can catch it in the R Times on Coco Chanel. Did you know she was a huge Nazi?
I did.
Fucking big one. Like not just...
Yeah, I don't understand how cancel culture hasn't got that one.
Well, the thing is, like, you can hit so hard that it doesn't matter. Because, like, everyone knows Hugo Boss designed the Nazi uniforms.
Uh-huh.
But Hugo Boss, great brand.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, they're dead now. So, like, what is it? Like, it would be dumb to be like, the people who own Chanel now should be punished because...
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just saying I'm surprised that just...
In the high fashion world, none of that shit matters. There's certain parts of entertainment mm-hmm. and, like, the elite in Hollywood that are, like, completely cancel proof
uh-huh.
and like I feel like high fashion is one of them because like dude so many of them motherfuckers at the top of like high fashion are like mm-hmm. clearly trafficking women doing all this stuff
yeah.
and like everybody's just like well you know they make the dress with the cut
mm-hmm.
but and by the way I don't even like when I first heard that she was a Nazi I thought like okay she's a Nazi in the sense that and this is honestly sexist of me I was like she's a Nazi in the sense that her husband was a Nazi, and she just didn't want to say
you know,
anything
she was
about
a spy.
It. Spy.
Yeah.
Literal spy.
Yeah, let it just be known that that is the whole reason I don't have a closet full of Chanel bags.
That's it. That's the only
it.
Reason.
The only reason.
Yeah.
Were
Dooney and Burke, what were they up to? Were they like hanging out in Axis Japan,
yeah.
like slaughtering
just,
the second-born girls?
I think Dooney and Burke was just selling sawed-off shotguns at yeah. Winn-Dixie
yeah.
for the cause.
They're out now, aren't they? Like, I remember...
I'm so out that I don't know what's in.
Yeah, but, like, here, let me explain. And I know we're going off on a huge tangent, but this is all very related to the show, so I don't care. Mm-hmm. When we were coming up, like, when we were in high school and, like, everyone... Like, only certain people had the designer shits or whatever, and a lot of people... Even if a lot of people that had the designer stuff actually didn't have it like that, they would literally save up for like 2 years to get something. Or, of course, you go to New York and get one, you know,
yeah,
from
I
the
mean,
Chinese
I bet a
people.
A lot of people had bootleg stuff.
Most of it. But by the way, people, this is what I love about rednecks. People will brag about how good their bootleg is.
Uh-huh.
Like, people around here won't try to pass something mm-hmm. off as a bootleg, mm-hmm. they will straight up go, you can't even tell this is fucking fake, can you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they'll say it to everybody. It's like, we honestly couldn't. You shouldn't have said anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they're more proud of the deal mm-hmm. than they would have been because in their redneck brain, they're like, I don't want people thinking I'd spend $1,200 on a purse.
Mm-hmm.
That's stupid,
mm-hmm.
right? My point is, when we were in high school, I remember, like, obviously Chanel was always up there. Gucci, always up there. Versace, always up there. But Dooney and the Burke, Dooney and the Burke. Dooney and the Burke. Dooney and Burke was the one that, like, it was definitely not like a like a legacy name that I'd ever heard of, like your Versace and Gucci's, but like I was
it
like,
was,
oh.
It was accessible.
But so like, was that new when we were in high school, or are they old?
I remember having one in middle school, and I have no clue how old the brand is, but it was accessible. Like you didn't have to be like, I'd say like upper class.
Yeah, no, it was the cheaper one, but yeah. It was still like in that regard. Because yeah. but with most of those, like it's at the time, like, Gucci was old. Chanel
no one
was
around
old.
Here was wearing that. They had Dooney & Burke and they had Coach bags. And then they had
that's right.
And
Coach
knockoff.
Is old.
Yeah. Yeah. But they had real Dooney & Burke, real Coach.
Louis Vuitton.
And knockoff Louis Vuitton.
That's right. Mm-hmm. But with Dooney & Burke, the only reason I think that they're like, they weren't old is because it seems like all the old legacy ones, like they're the ones that are still sticking around. Like, that's why I personally think you have to give a lot of credit and God rest her soul to Kate Spade, because mm-hmm. Kate Spade 100% entered that market, mm-hmm. is crushing in that market, mm-hmm. and was not an established legacy brand. Like, mm-hmm. Kate Spade was a person who was not that much older than us.
Because she wasn't marketing to the people that carry Chanel and Louis Vuitton. She was marketing to more...
Is that right? They're not as expensive?
No,
I didn't know that.
No, I mean...
They did a great job branding it.
You could get a Kate Spade purse for, you know... $200, like $2 to $5.
Right, you know, and you're doing like, and your Louis Vuitton's like $1,000.
Yeah,
like, and then you're Birkin, like that's not even.
Oh yeah, that's
stupid.
Yeah, that's not even. Yeah, that's not even in the same. Yeah,
okay.
That's like saying I have a vehicle and it's a car, and another person says I have a vehicle but it's an airplane. I mean, honestly.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
It really is, though.
Yeah.
Because of, like...
They both can get you there.
Right. That's true. Because, like, Birkin bags, there's, like, our parents didn't pay that much for their house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. and like, dude, I know that me and you have... I think me and you are very similar in a lot of ways, where, like, I genuinely am a person who believes, hey, man... If you got it, do whatever you want mm-hmm. with it. You know, I do think mm-hmm. that if you've got it, in my opinion, like, legally, do you owe a responsibility to the poor? Legally, no. But, like, I would like to think that, like, hey, if you got it like that mm-hmm. and you're not an asshole, that you would, like... And by the way, some of these people that have Birkin bags, maybe they also are like, yeah, I spent that much on this charity, too. You don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Then there's also...
We need to try not to assume.
We do need to try not to assume. Mm-hmm. And... There's also the other thing that I go through in my head of like, because I've seen these Birkin bags that are like, some of them are $50,000, mm-hmm. some are more, but $50,000.
And a wait list.
And I'm like, in which that's, you know, they got plenty of them. They're doing the Beanie Baby thing, but to like way richer people.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, there's part of me that people are like, how could you spend $50,000 on a purse? And I don't know if it's the libertarian or whatever in me, which I don't think I'm any of that, but like I'll go, okay, yes, to you, that's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. To Bill Gates' wife, uh-huh. that is the same thing. Literally, Bill Gates' wife spending $50,000 on a Birkin bag is the same thing as you spending $1 on a McDouble. So then you go, right, but to her, it's not.
Like,
but then,
that could happen anymore in this economy.
Yeah, right. Okay, yeah, you're right. They're not a dollar.
No.
But then I come back around to, yeah, sure, but they still could have given that if $50,000 is nothing to them, they could have funded a school. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, maybe they did. I don't know. We should be on the fantasy draft. We got on some BS, and that's my fault. We were talking about daddies. So mm-hmm. we did the king. You did the whore brother, who was...
Mark Wahlberg.
And where are we at now?
Elizabeth Taylor's the queen.
Queen, yeah.
Queen mother, Maggie Smith.
Has to be.
Yeah, I mean, snide remarks.
Yeah.
You know, just... yeah.
The
yeah.
easiest person to do an impression of, because you only have to say words, you just go...
Yeah, yeah. 1,000,000%.
She's the best, and we will mourn. I'll tell you this.
I'll go to bed.
Me and you, yeah, you've said it to me a million times. She'll just randomly text me out of nowhere and be like, by the way, I'll be in bed for 2 weeks when Maggie Smith dies. I was like, is she sick? And she's like, I'm just telling you.
Yeah, yeah.
We're wearing black.
I feel like you'll appreciate my hand.
Okay.
Paul Giamatti.
I love that. Mm-hmm. He does seem, because, you know, one example.
He's reasonable.
He seems like a reasonable guy.
Yeah.
You know?
I could seek his counsel.
Yeah. Do you watch Billions?
No.
Well, it's interesting because he plays a political guy in Billions mm-hmm. and who is very much someone who, like, don't get me wrong, he can be a prick too, mm-hmm. but he does a really, like, a hand, in my opinion, regardless of what side you're on, a hand needs to be somebody that doesn't look at any of that and just literally goes, mm-hmm. what's best for the realm in this moment? Mm-hmm. What is logical? What is pragmatic? Uh-huh. Like, mm-hmm. and you just, that's what me and Trey were talking about. We're like, our political sensibilities want us to, well, it'll be this guy, it'll be that guy. But then even we have to go, you can't get a liberal to do that job. Yeah. You know what yeah. I mean? Like, yeah, what are you fucking yeah. talking about? Yeah. Like, yeah. are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. That mm-hmm. needs to be, because I'd mentioned for hand, I was like, I think John, this is when we took off political people, but I was like, I think John McCain would probably be the best one ever. Like, yeah. that guy, he never took shit from Republicans or Democrats. Mm-hmm. That's the guy I want. I don't yeah. need to agree with him on every policy. Mm-hmm. What I need is for him to hear me and what I want to say, and for him to go, let me cut the bullshit real uh-huh. quick,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I feel like of the actors, Paul Giamatti's a fine one.
Yeah, I guess I was a little bit inspired because I thought of Russell Crowe and yeah. I thought of him in
Master. No, he's not in Master.
No. The fighting movie. The boxing movie. That's so good. Cinderella Man.
Oh, good God. Cinderella Man. Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah. You're going to make me cry. Dude, that movie will make me cry worse than killing a squirrel.
It's so good.
When he comes up into the room of the boxing commission with his hat out, mm-hmm. knowing how hard that was for him, mm-hmm. but knowing how good of a dad he was, mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. be like, I'm too proud to do this, mm-hmm. but my pride mm-hmm. isn't going to feed my son.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to cry.
When his little son thinks that he's going to get sent away like his friend did.
Oh, yeah. And dude, when Russell Crowe gives him his bologna, mm-hmm. and he goes, oh, I had a dream last night that I was eating a steak this thick. Uh-huh. And he's clearly starving. He's going to the docs like, bro, that movie, I haven't watched it since I became a dad. I bet you I can't handle it now.
Because no,
you got more emotional when you had a kid, right?
Yeah.
I'm crying at J.K. Simmons' insurance commercials.
I started crying when he started talking about Civil War squirrels.
Okay, yeah. So what were we just talking about? Paul Giamatti. Yeah,
Paul Giamatti, but are you ready for the Kingsguard?
Yes. Is this also an actor?
Corey, I told you these are all actors.
Okay, go ahead.
Liam Neeson. He's got a special set of skills.
He does. All right. By the way, I'm fine with this.
And he would not get political. So, he's just like, let me protect the king.
Yeah, so we're clearly what you're doing is actors, and because of the roles they've played, you think this. So if we're going to do this, it's Liam Neeson in Taken. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I associate.
And Paul Giamatti in?
In Cinderella Man.
Cinderella, yeah. Sure. Yeah. And Russell Crowe in Master and Commander. Yeah, that works.
Yeah, but this next person for Master of Whispers, I don't have a reference for it. I just feel like I could just see him getting the lowdown.
Okay.
Philip Seymour Hoffman. R.I.P.
I mean, God bless him. He hung out in heroin dens and stuff. People were talking
like
a lot.
Yeah, like I feel like he's one of those that you just like would have him at the party.
Can I tell you who I think would be a really good Master of Whispers that I was going to bring up on the last show, but I didn't. I'm glad you brought it up. And I wanted to do it last week and forgot because last week obviously was the anniversary, but nobody be mad at me. Osama bin Laden.
Oh, I mean, he knew how to get people on his side,
and clearly he was operating in the shadows.
Yeah.
America had not been attacked on its own soil, never in the continental United States, mm-hmm. since the war, but never on its own soil since December 7th, 1942 was Pearl Harbor.
And the Master of Whispers, if you're going to go by like Game of Thrones,
he's going to be a piece of shit.
Yeah,
yes.
So I shouldn't have said Philip Seymour Hoffman. That was wrong. I mean, I was going to have to get
Philip Seymour Hoffman in what movie?
I said there wasn't.
You just straight up went actors. I said, here's what it is. I love you. I love you so much. I said famous. I said people that we all know, and you're like, that's actors. That's actors. I love it.
Well, I just wanted to be accessible to the listeners.
Yeah,
everyone
but I
knows.
Do want you to defend it though. What is it about Philip Seymour Hoffman? And I'll defend Osama bin Laden all day.
Him being someone
that's gonna be that's a bad that's a bad clip to just cut out. I'll defend Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, I can just see Philip Seymour Hoffman being someone that can easily mingle at different events.
And blend in,
people would feel comfortable telling him stuff. Like if I'm just seeing Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying, like,
But that's the thing is, you wouldn't see Osama bin Laden. He was so secretive.
That's what the Al-Qaeda was for.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If you ever saw him,
we are not supporting Osama bin Laden and the Al-Qaeda.
We've said a million times on this show and on Well Read, and say it with me, Kirby, 9/11 don't hit.
It does not hit.
No, it does not hit.
No.
Osama bin Laden don't hit.
No.
But we're talking about a realm here. Yeah. And sometimes you have to have people that you disagree with. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me... I wanted you to defend Philip Seymour Hoffman. You did, but I wanted to say this. If we're going actors for that specific, he could blend in, blah, blah, blah. I think, though, I have one that trumps you, and that's Daniel Day-Lewis.
Because he's a method actor.
He's a chameleon.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He can look like so many different things. Or Gary Oldman. Gary Oldman. Daniel Day-Lewis is a great actor, and he can't, like, it's like, oh my God, how does he look like Abraham Lincoln? But, like, then you look at him in real life, and you're like, well, he kind of looks like Abraham Lincoln. Mm-hmm. Gary Oldman looks like people that he would never, like, there's sometimes I'll be watching a movie, and 20 minutes in go, I think that's fucking Gary Oldman. Yeah. And it is Gary Oldman.
Yeah, Meryl Streep, too, because, I mean, she played an Italian woman in... Bridges of Madison County, which...
I knew I've never seen that movie. I did just get a Madison...
Which, honestly, like, don't get me wrong, Meryl Streep stan, but it's like, there was not some Italian actress.
Yeah, not then. And, you know, it's funny, because, like, you know, now, obviously, that's a bigger deal, and you understand why. Like, you understand why, because you go, look, for years, every white person got not only the white roles... Mm-hmm. They got the straight white roles. They got the gay white roles. Mm-hmm. They got the Italian roles. So, like, you get it. Mm-hmm. However, there are certain actors and actresses who I think we collectively, as a society and culture, would go, we don't care what they do. And Meryl Streep might be one of them. Mm-hmm. Like, look, should Meryl Streep play a Chinese person? No. Mm-mm. Would I care? No, because she'd crush it. She would be the most Chinese bitch you've ever seen in your life. And I don't even think people in China would get mad, because they would be like, we're so proud that Meryl Streep is representing our country. Mm-hmm. But there's like a small list, and she's like, she's on it. Mm-hmm. Like, but then, you know, back in the day, though, I mean, Jesus fucking Christ, like, John Wayne played Genghis Khan.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like there are options in Hollywood finding actors for that was limited then.
Well, it was. Like, those people weren't...
But Bridges of Madison County, I mean, Meryl Streep's not that old.
Of course not. Yeah. No, I know. But, like, there was a time in Hollywood where, like, people that weren't white
and
never...
And they had to go with people that were under contract with that company.
Well, and, like, they had to have a star.
They had to have a star.
And that was one thing I always, like, you go, well, yes, okay, is there... There's probably an Italian actress... But is there a really, really famous Italian actress? Because they put $200 million in this movie.
Well, I mean, also, it's just one of those things that, like, when you know better, you do better.
Yes, exactly.
You didn't know better.
Yeah, we did. Now, by the way, the studios 100% knew better. But we did, as a society, you know why? Because it was very easy, and it still sometimes is, to go, well, yeah, they're acting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, you know,
like,
you shouldn't act
literally
another race.
The other day that they had Emma Stone play a Hawaiian woman.
Not that long ago.
Yeah.
That was the one that surprised me the most, because,
like, I could be a Hawaiian woman before
I know,
Emma Stone.
Easily. Oh, I would buy you over her.
Yeah.
And then also they did the same thing with the Scarlett Johansson thing. They just recasted her as what was supposed to be a Chinese character. She wasn't supposed to be Chinese, which that's different.
Yes, that's different.
But yeah, Emma Stone, like, and it was so funny when that happened, because, like,
I'm not saying that there's not redheaded Hawaiian people, but if you're going to want to use a general idea of the Hawaiian people,
her.
It's not her.
It's not her.
Yeah.
And also, again, that was at a time where all of us were like, I thought we went over this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if it was 10 years before that, we'd be like, yeah, who gives it? Because nobody gave a fuck about the movie.
Yeah.
But all of us were like, you're really going to risk this bad PR on this movie?
Uh-huh.
Are you
uh-huh.
doing that? Okay, fantasy draft. I'm sorry. This is why I love doing shows with you, because nothing matters and
we
go on tangents.
This is what we talk about.
Yeah, right. I forgot we were recording.
I mean, literally the other day, I called you and asked you if in The Sopranos, if Godfather 2... actually happened.
Exists
because
in that world.
What's-his-face from Godfather
Junior.
2 is in Sopranos, so how can Godfather 2 exist?
Yeah, I get, dude.
And does Goodfellas exist? It does exist. There's Sorry.
Hold on. Do you mean the movie Goodfellas exists in the Sopranos universe?
Yeah, or, but how can it whenever Dr. Melfi is in Goodfellas?
Yeah. Well, clearly, Dr. Melfi just looks like... Yeah, right. But there should be an episode where they go... You know, you look like Lorraine Bracco.
Yeah.
And you know what? You know what, though? They've done that. Like, remember they did that in Ocean's 12?
Yeah.
And it sucked. Yeah. It was horrible. They go, you look just like Julia Roberts. And as soon as they did that,
everybody. Yeah, that cheapens it.
Because those movies were fucking awesome. And it's not that it cheapens it, it's just that, like, immediately you go, right, we're watching a movie. Uh-huh. And, like, of course, everybody watching a movie knows they're watching a movie, but there is supposed to be that magic. It's in wrestling, too.
Yeah.
It's in wrestling, too.
Yeah.
We all know that wrestling is. Not fake, by the way. Mm-hmm. Scripted. We all know that. Mm-hmm. However, we do expect the people to do such a good job at it that while we're watching it for however long it is, we go, no, that was real.
Yeah.
And then when you go, you look just like Julia Roberts, we all go, she is fucking Julia Roberts.
Yeah, you just ruined
it. You ruined the whole, like, that movie fucking sucked because of that.
Yeah, fuck people. Oh.
I was wondering when that was going to happen because if y'all don't know POA people, Kirby made me be completely clean on the Little House of the Dragon. And I was going to try it today, but I've had a couple whiskeys. And so I was like, this is my show. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, just bleep me out.
I'm not going to remember when this was, but okay.
Oh, God.
Go ahead with your fantasy draft.
All right. Well, I put Master of Coin as Robert Downey Jr.
Why? He was a heroin addict. He'd be the worst Master of Coin.
Well, just the vibe he gives. Like, he.
What, though? Go ahead.
Do
you mean him as Tony Stark?
Yeah.
There you go. If we're doing that, you have to do that, though. You have to, if you're going to name the actor, and you know that they don't have a quality in real life that denotes that, you have to go, because he played this. So that's because he played Tony Stark, right?
Okay. And Jester, Chris Farley.
Yeah.
Because of who he is.
I believe that Trey may have said Chris Farley would be a good one. I said Mel Brooks because I thought that, like, I think that if the aliens came to Earth and they said, bring us your funniest, the person that represents what you think humor is, I would bring Mel Brooks. However, and Trey pointed this out, Robin Williams or Chris Farley would be better, like, on the spot jesters.
Yeah, like, they're physically...
They,
funny.
You like, I, now don't get me wrong, I know for a fact, I've seen him. Mel Brooks can be funny without any prompts, but like, Robin Williams could come in with nothing. Chris Farley could come in with Jim Carrey. Those three.
Yeah.
That's your top three of all time. I mean, it can't not be. Well, like, maybe the Abbott and Costello, but that was all scripted. And I know that Farley and Carrey and them, they did scripted stuff, but like, you just know those dudes. They could just come in and they could go, King, what do you want today? Yeah. He could say it, and here you go.
The scene in Liar Liar when Jim Carrey beats himself
up. It's unreal.
Yeah.
Can I tell you... We've had this conversation a lot, probably on Well Read, not this show. That's our other podcast we do if we don't mention it enough. We've mentioned that, like, it's crazy. Like, most actors will tell you that comedy acting is the hardest acting to do. Mm-hmm. Because not only do you have to be, like, convincing in your role, you have to also be funny.
Yeah.
And, like, I will say this, like, I'm a bad actor at both. Mm-hmm. But if... I knew if you said, hey, Corey, we need you to nail a scene, nail it. Well, no, I'm a pretty good comedy actor. But like dramatic, I feel like it's not that hard for a real actor to get dramatic. But to be funny, you've got to have the timing. To be dramatic, you've got to be upset. And we can all get there. But if you're not a funny person in real life, you're probably not going to be able to act funny. So. What? What was I talking about?
Being a jester.
Most actors would tell you that comedy is, you know, the hardest or whatever. And like, Jim Carrey, more comedians should be nominated for Oscars in movies, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There was a famous interview that.
Just like in scary movies, they should be nominated too.
Yes, because you frightened me. There was a famous interview with Eddie Murphy where he had just been in Dreamgirls. That's the one he got nominated for an Oscar. He might have won it.
Oh, no, I never saw Dreamgirls.
Well, he was either nominated or won. I know that he was nominated at least for an Oscar. And so he's on the press tour for it, and it's like one of those very up... Like, he's on the Oscar press junket. It's super up your ass. Well, Eddie Murphy, at his heart's a comedian, so, like, all this stuff is stupid to him. And they were talking to him about the movie, and they were like, you were nominated for an Oscar, and it's like... They're like, there's just something that you brought to that character. There was this scene where...
where it's undoubtedly that you were going to get nominated because you just, without saying a word, you gave this look. Mm-hmm. And he goes, a fucking look. He goes, I don't even remember doing that. He goes, you know how hard I worked in Nutty Professor? Do you know how much harder that was to play five people and crack everybody up and do it by myself? I should have been nominated for that shit. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yes, he should have. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He should have been nominated for ensemble cast by himself, right? Mm-hmm. Jim Carrey in Liar Liar, that's his most underrated movie. Mm-hmm. We all give the flowers to Ace Ventura. Of course it's great.
Yeah, Liar Liar better than Ace Ventura.
I might from a, like, which one of these is better? Mm-hmm. Because Liar Liar is also, hidden inside a comedy, a great movie. Mm-hmm. That was back when, like, comedies had, like, they were super highbrow. Uh-huh. Like, there was literally sorcery in it.
Yeah.
Like, he couldn't lie. Like, you don't make, they don't make movies like that anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, everything now is like, if you're going to make a comedy, it's coming of age. It has to be real. But back then, they were just like, what if Chris Farley's a ninja? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, go. Were you done with your list?
Yeah.
That was it? Yeah. Okay. Well, I love that list. I love that you went straight actors. Next time that you're on the show, I would like you to do the same thing. But singers, and I need you to name the song that makes you think that they would be a good ruler.
Okay.
I have to say, Beyonce's got to be the queen in that one. Single Ladies, like that one might, you know, we'll talk about it next time you're on the show, which I have a feeling will be sooner rather than later. Okay. So we'll be right back right after this.
Listen, guys, cold turkey might be great on sandwiches, but there's a better way to break your bad habits. I'm not talking about some weird mind voodoo from your crazy neighbor or waiting until Mercury's in retrograde and lighting your crystals up and lighting the right candles and all that type of silly stuff. We're talking about our sponsor, Fume, and they look at the problem in a different way. Not everything in a bad habit is wrong, so instead of a drastic, uncomfortable change, why not just remove the bad from your habit? Fume is an innovative award-nominated device that does just that. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses all natural, delicious flavors. You get it. Instead of bad, Fume is good. It's a habit you're free to enjoy and makes replacing your bad habit easy. Your Fume comes with an adjustable airflow dial and is designed with movable parts and magnets for fidgeting, which gives your fingers plenty to do, which is helpful for de-stressing and anxiety while breaking your habit. Cho, tell them about it.
First off, I'd like to echo what you said. Fume equals good, not bad. It is good. I was blown away by the taste. You know what I mean? Like, have you ever smelled something that smelled so good and you're like, why can't I breathe that? Well, you can do that with Fume. And as you pointed out, the feel, it is just this fun little perfectly weighted thing that I just, you know, I got to be doing something with my hands at all times. And it's just neat, super well weighted, and it tastes good. It looks beautiful. As I've pointed out on this show before, it looks like a little mini baseball bat that your papaw whittled on the porch, but it's got this nice sleek metal front part to it. It's just cool looking stuff, and it tastes good too, and it feels great. Stopping is something that we all put off because it's hard, but switching to Fume is easy, enjoyable, and even fun. Fume has served over 100,000 customers and has thousands of success stories, and there's no reason that can't be you. Join Fume in accelerating humanity's breakup from destructive habits by picking up the Journey Pack today. Head to tryfume.com. Use promo code POA to save 10% off when you get the Journey Pack today. That's tryfume.com and use code POA to save an additional 10% off your order today.
That's okay. Nobody gives a fuck. Babies have rosy cheeks. Okay, for people on audio that don't know what just happened, my wife just popped in. This is the, I think I'm calling this the fancy family hour or something like that. I wanted you to hop on real quick because I had mentioned long ago on this podcast, but also earlier this came up about your daddy's list and how I don't look like any of the people on your daddy's list.
They all look different anyways,
good.
Though.
Okay, good. I want you to... Kirby gave her daddy's list. I want you to...
It's
off the top of your
changed.
Head... I don't care if it's changed. Then go through your changes.
I've thought about this the other day that I need to remake.
Off the top
list.
Of your head, who's your top five daddies? Right now. Don't even think about it.
Jason.
Momoa. Yeah, right. I brought that one up.
I can't.
He just almost drilled his head on that microphone.
He's moving around.
Here, let me get him.
No, he's all right.
Jason Momoa, dude from Friday Night Lights, right?
Okay, it's hard though because I have different daddies for different reasons. Like,
what are the reasons?
It could be like overall just daddy this person in general, but also TV show daddies. There's a difference, though. Because, like, Cillian...
So, sometimes the... Cillian Murphy. He's a TV show daddy?
He's a TV show daddy.
But he's like, not all-time daddy? Because I thought he was, like, your guy.
I feel like he has gone up because of Peaky Blinders, but he would have never initially been on my daddy list. Like,
right.
I used to think he was weird and creepy.
Right, like, you didn't
but
see
then
Batman...
But watching...
Yeah.
From watching
you liked
him,
his character. Okay, so it's not just TV show daddy, it's character daddies.
Yes,
it's like
character.
It's like he wouldn't have been my daddy unless I saw him as this person.
Yeah.
Because I have to agree with you, like, I don't think anybody who saw him in Batman Begins was like, this guy's going to be a heartthrob. But then, same guy,
well, he
looks
the
same.
Well, he was in a bunch of stuff. It was in a bunch of weird things, like that Red Eye movie. It was
and
weird.
He was creepy.
He was creepy. And in, what was the... The one with Leonardo DiCaprio, wasn't he in that
Inception?
One?
Don't you think though that that proves that like
how much storytelling can matter?
Yeah, or like your personality.
Yeah,
because like you're attracted to his character in that, which means it's the way he behaves. Right, you too, Kirby. It's the way like your
but
looks.
Like, would you have thought about him before Peaky Blinders?
No.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's Thomas Shelby.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So like, someone can have moderate looks, but if they're a certain way, they're super hot.
Yeah.
Whereas someone could be better looking than him, but they act a completely different way, and you're like, they're not daddy.
Yeah.
Like, there's
that very much matters.
Probably, I mean, wouldn't you say that, like, Chris Evans is probably more classically handsome?
Yeah, he is. He's kind of like the boyish features.
Although, honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, like, I think about Thomas Shelby, I was like, no, he's actually really fucking hot. Like, he's got good eyes.
Yes.
He's very symmetrical. He's got
and
really
now,
good eyes.
But now, though, that I've gone
because
back
he played,
and seen him, I
okay,
do see that.
What are some other TV show daddies?
Well, yeah. Tim Riggins was TV show daddy.
The tight end from Friday Night Lights, right?
Yeah, he was TV show daddy.
Texas Forever.
Yeah, Texas Forever.
Is in the show or the movie?
Oh, Neck Tat Daddy.
Neck Tat Daddy.
You know Neck Tat Daddy.
Yes.
I don't know
Neck. From Good Girls.
I don't know Good Girls.
He's like the drug
neck tat daddy. Kirby, look up
you
neck tat daddy. I've heard you refer to neck tat daddy, but you're saying, but I don't know who it is. I've just heard you go,
his
ooh. You just go, ooh. Here's what
Montana?
I've heard.
Montana?
You'll be watching a show and you'll just go, ooh, neck tat daddy.
Manny Montana, I think. Is that his name?
Manny Montana.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Manny Montana. That's three. Two more.
So he's TV show daddy.
I know one that's a daddy for
who,
the
who
show.
Else? Who am I? I'm just blanking right now.
The guy that plays Eric Northman on True Blood.
Skarsgård.
Oh, Alexander Skarsgård.
He's on overall.
I was about to say, that son of a bitch is like classical Greek statue hot.
Yeah.
Like, that don't even, like, I'm not even mad at you for that.
Yeah.
Like, duh, dude, he's a daddy for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like, but you know what, Lo? Like, did you feel like he went down in daddy when he played Matson in Succession?
Kind of,
yeah,
he
didn't
was
he?
Awkward,
didn't
he? Was like awkwardly.
Me
weird.
Too. Like me too. Because like I was, I remember watching. Like I always thought he was hot as fuck, and then like watching Succession, I was like, kind of soft right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I didn't like how his character was.
Yeah, he was just kind of a chud. I mean, he was like clearly playing an Elon Musk type.
Yeah.
But like, and still way cooler and hotter than Elon Musk. But like, yeah, he was like chuddish.
Yeah.
So, all right, one more. You got the other daddy.
I'm just trying to think of shows. Well, the guy from Outlander.
Oh. Yeah. I don't know if you heard my sister come from the middle of the stairs.
I can't think of what his name is. Sam. It's Sam.
Hold on.
It's not Sam Worthington, is it?
It's something with an H. Sam.
You know, I've never watched that show. I know that I should. I should probably do like a whole... You want to do a podcast about it? That would be fun.
Sam Hugan.
There you go. Okay. Well, there you go. Hey.
But I do want to go back and rethink on these because I know.
We'll do it. And then next podcast, when Trey's back, I'll have you come on for a segment of Amber's.
My overall daddy list has changed.
Right. Well, next, how about this? Think about it all week and then come back. Teaser for all the POA fans out there. First off, that's my boy, Bane. Are you sad, buddy? Are you happy? You're hungry? All right, we'll go eat, but think about it, and next week come back with your updated daddy list. How about that? All right, Amber Forrester, we'll be right back with Lady Kirby, everybody. So you decoded my cipher earlier when I mentioned up butt art. You knew immediately.
Stuck up.
Yeah, what's like if you, off the top of your head, like when you think of stuck up art, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
First thing that comes, like an artist or like what? Like...
painting, like what does pretentious art mean
like
to you?
The art that's like thousands of dollars that's literally like a splat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like, do you know what Piss Christ is?
No.
This dude, we talked about this, but I want to get your headspace right. We talked about this. This dude, like, he got a statue of Jesus and suspended it in a barrel of piss. And, like...
Lord.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't, like... Actually, you know what? I'm glad that you said that because I don't care about sacrilegious stuff. Mm-hmm. And so you would think, as someone who doesn't care about... Or actually, not don't care, sometimes I love it. Like heavy metal, like sacrilegious heavy metal music,
yeah,
I love it.
I know, yeah.
But even
shock value doesn't equal art.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But even me, who is someone who is like, I don't even really know if I believe Jesus existed, let mm-hmm. alone was the Son of God. Even me is like, okay... You're just being an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. And it sold for, like, millions of dollars or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, this is the most recent thing that's happened. So, there was a Danish artist has been ordered to repay a museum. This museum, this happened in 2021, but the lawsuit is just now happening. So, I'm going to read. This is from NPR. So, you know, it like, NPR is pretentious art. Mm-hmm. It's like the Pretentious Art Central, and mm-hmm. they're covering this, so you know it's wonderful. In autumn 2021, a Danish museum opened two large crates to inspect works it had commissioned from the artist Jens Hanning. Basically, they paid this artist $75,000. They're like, we want you to commission two paintings. We're going to give you $75,000. So, does it? Sends it to them. Guess it takes them a while to open it. They're like, we'll get to that. We've already paid for it, whatever. Mm-hmm. So they open it up. They see that it's titled, that the title was on the outside of this. Mm-hmm. The title was, the name of this art was Take the Money and Run. Mm-hmm. What do you think it was?
Just a blank page.
Blank canvas. Two blank canvases.
God.
Completely blank canvases. Uh-huh. And they're suing them. However, me and Trey had mentioned on this show a while back that, like, there was this art spectacle in, like, France or something where this was a person's, like, when they had, you know, when, you don't watch The Office, do you?
Mm-mm.
You're a bitch.
Yeah.
When you have a show, like an art show or whatever.
Oh, are you talking about whenever What's His Space did The Shred?
No.
But you know what I'm talking about with that.
No, tell me.
Well, you know, okay, who's that artist that...
Banksy. Uh-huh.
So Banksy had a piece of art that was going up for auction or whatever. All these, you know, all these art dealers are there or whatever. Well, it sold for, I'm just going to say, $1 million. And then whenever it got sold, it just immediately shredded.
Yep, we did talk about that. Yeah. I forgot about it. That's rad.
Yeah.
Now, like, but it's one of those situations where, like... The part
it's such a butthole thing to
it's
do.
It's a huge butthole thing to do. And like the part of me that goes, you know what? Fuck anyone who would spend $4 million on a painting mm-hmm. instead of like, you know, paying off their shithead niece's college loans. Again, I know. And we go back. But like there's part of me that goes, now granted, like when you have that much money, people like that invest and art can sometimes be seen as an investment. Mm-hmm. But there's part of me that goes, hell yeah, Banksy. But then there's the other part of me that's like, your whole existence would be nothing if it wasn't for these people.
Yeah.
So you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah,
you can't be the king of pretentious art and then be like these asshole fascist mm-hmm. people that buy art. It's like your art. Mm-hmm. Your art, they do mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. However, if I'm someone that can just off the top of my head opinion, I'm like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, these are blank. Mm-hmm. And so my point is like, that huge butthole, mm-hmm. there was like this thing in France one time where like this artist was having like their art show and people came and it was an empty room and there was nothing. And they had an arrow pointing to just a blank space of nothing. And they were like, the art is, it's whatever you want it to be.
That's so lazy.
It's so lazy, mm-hmm. but like people were literally going, the genius of this. And I'm like, can we not be somewhere in the middle where we go, okay, I mean, not fuck you because that's funny, but not, oh my God, I never would have thought of that. It's like, it's just somebody did a lazy thing.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Like imagine Trey couldn't be here this week, right? Mm-hmm. And instead of me getting you to co-host, I put out a file on our RSS feed that had nothing on it. It was just white noise. And I titled it White Noise. And in the description, I was like, this is a commentary on the deafening sounds of the GOP when it comes to child sex trafficking. And someone out there really went like, this is the most powerful podcast I've ever listened to. You know what I mean? Instead of recognizing this son of a bitch is insanely lazy and he's done a thing. Kirby, while we're here, we do have to go. We don't have a lot of time. I would like you to, what are your dates? Where are you touring? Where are you going to be touring?
Well, let's see. I've got a PTO meeting next week. Yeah, that's about it. PTO meetings. I'm room mom.
Are you really?
Yeah. Co-room mom. There's another room mom, too.
Who is it? Do I know him?
Yeah, it's Sydney.
Oh, right on. Hell yeah. So no podcast you're going to be on book that came out. I have one, by the way. It's called Round Here and Over Yonder. It just came out.
I would love to talk with y'all again.
Would you? Yeah. I would love you to come back on. I'm going to put you on the spot. I have not prepped Kirby for this at all. I just had the idea while I was peeing.
I know that would make all the difference in the world.
Kirby, when I was going to pee, I realized on my desk I had this copy of the Cambridge School of Shakespeare's edition of Hamlet, and I turned to a page that has a fairly decently long monologue from Hamlet right here.
I have to read all that?
Yeah, I would like you to. And I was trying to decide if I want you to do it in your most redneck voice or if I want you to do it in your most Shakespeare voice, and I've decided for Shakespeare voice because that's more of a challenge for you.
Yeah.
So... yeah. Close us out. I want you to read. This is Act 3, Scene 2 from Hamlet. I'll lead you in as Horatio, okay? I'll lead you in. Just tell me when you're ready.
I'm ready.
Oh, dear Lord!
Nay, do not think I flatter. For what advancement may I hope from thee, that no revenue hast thy good spirits? To feed and clothe thee, why should the poor be flattered?
The back of the room needs to hear you. In Shakespeare, they have to speak up because they didn't have microphones.
No, let the candied tongue lick absurd pomp and crook the pregnant hinges of the knee, where thrift may follow fawning. Dost thou hear? Since my dear soul was mistress of her choice, and could of men distinguish her election, Shath sealed thee for herself, for thou hast been as one in suffering, all that suffers nothing. A man that fortune's buffets.
You sound like Shelby from Steel Magnolias.
A man that fortune's buffet.
Buffet, not buffet! It's not Jimmy.
And rewards hast tame with equal thanks, and blessed are those whose blood and judgment are so well commodeled that they are not a pipe for fortune's finger to sound what stop she please. Give me that man. This is not passion's slave, and I will wear him in my heart's core, ay, in my heart of heart, as I do thee. Something too much of this. There is a play tonight before the king. One scene of it comes near the circumstance, which I have told thee of my father's death. I prithee, when thou...
You what?
Prithee. Is that what's prithee?
No, you're right.
I prithee, when thou seest that act afoot, even with the very comment of thy soul, observe my uncle... if his occulted guilt do not itself unkennel in one speech.
Damn.
It is a damned ghost that we have seen, and my imaginations are as foul as Vulcan's stithy.
Stithy?
Stithy. Stithy. Stithy?
No, stithy, I think.
Give him hateful note, for I mine eyes will rivet to his face. And after we will both our judgments join in censure of this seeming.
Your turn. Oh, if a steal aught the whilst this play is playing and scape detecting, I will pay the theft sound a flourish. Your last line, dear.
They are coming to the play. I must be idle. Get you a place.
Okay, there you go. Lady Kirby, everybody. We loved having you. Go get the book round here and over yonder. Thank you for liking, subscribing, and downloading. Hold on. Hey, Bubba, I'm recording a Putting on Air's podcast. Tell all my listeners something.
Hey, everybody.
There you go. All right, I'll talk to you later. Thank you all for downloading, liking, subscribing, all that good stuff. We love you. Email us at puttingonairs@gmail.com. Sorry I didn't get to them this week. I vetted them, and all of them definitely required Trey's attention, so I didn't want anyone to be like, oh, Trey didn't hear my email. You know, nobody gives a shit if she hears it. Love y'all. Remember to check out Kirby at the PTO meeting next weekend. We'll see ya. And as always, stay
fancy.
There you go. Good job. Here's Lydia Lovelace.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Royalty and rednecks are alike. They both like cutting and picking fights. Biscuits and baked beans where they don't belong. Sit on down with Corey and Trey and learn some fancy shit today. We'll laugh a little even when they're wrong. They'll take you to a magical place where if you call someone a cut, nobody cares. They keep it debonair at Putting on Airs. Putting on Airs. Putting on Airs.